What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. Thank you for coming back and listening in, tuning in again, all that good stuff. First of all, I just want to say, man, we have a lot of good movies coming out this month of May. And another good thing that's going on in May is it's my birthday. I turned 32 on May 22nd, so excited for that. That's 2 weeks away. Excited. I don't do anything that much for my birthday anymore. I like to travel on my birthday. And if I can't travel, I spoil myself a little. I buy myself some things and treat myself to some comics, some books, you know, some of the better books. One book that I'm looking to get is Hellboy, the volume one of the library edition. So that's hopefully that comes true. And just a lot of other little things. Well, we'll see what happens. But anyways, back to the movies. There is a lot of movies coming out this month. Hopefully you guys are movie fans and you guys are getting out there and watching these movies. The first Friday in May, we had Amazing Spider-Man number 2. I enjoyed the movie. I know there's some people that it's kind of like half and half. They did and they didn't. I thought it was enjoyable. I thought they could have done... Personally, I thought that movie could have been done without Electro. I would have liked to see more of Green Goblin, but I guess we'll see more of Green Goblin than whatever they're bringing out next. Whether it's a third Amazing Spider-Man installment or the Sinister Six, so we'll see what happens with that. But I felt like Electro we could have done without really wasn't like a big... I don't know. He was just kind of there. Rhino, the suit, really didn't get to see it in action too much. I'm not a big fan of that suit. I wish they would have had more of a like Hulk type Rhino, like kind of like how he is in the comics. You know, he's just this dude in like a Rhino suit. I would have liked to see what they could have done with that. I'm not a big fan of the mech suit. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm giving it a chance. I'm giving it a chance because, after all, like I say, I stopped hating on these movies. Unless they're bad, then I'll hate on them. But I mean. Pretty much, movies are made nowadays the way the producer wants it, the way the director sees it. So they don't stick to the comics that much or whatever the story is, you know. And all everybody does is complain. Like the Turtles, they're complaining about that. And I agree with you. It's not the best look the Turtles have. I'm not a big fan of it, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the movie. Another movie that is coming out this week. This Friday is Godzilla. I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait to see what they are doing with the Godzilla. The last Godzilla came out, in 2000 or something like that? That was just horrible. But this one looks good. It's with Bryan Cranston, so at least we know we got good actors in it. And excited to see that. After that, a movie I'm kind of excited, kind of not excited to see it is... Days of Future Past, the X-Men stuff. Like I said, I'll be reviewing that book on that week. So I don't know too much about it. But the cool thing that I've been doing is that I've been reading these books before the movie comes out. And I've been enjoying them a lot more or enjoying them less. Depends on how I feel about it. But I'll be reading the book. So excited to read the book. Hopefully it's a good story. I haven't really had too much of a hit on the X-Men books when I read them. The last one I read was... the first X-Men, I thought it was... I think I hyped it up for myself too much, and I was kind of disappointed. So we'll see how Days of Future Past goes. And another movie that I'm excited to see, my girlfriend's excited to see, is Maleficent. I'm actually excited to see that. I like what Disney does. And I went to Disneyland last week, and they had a like special screening, kind of like a sneak peek, and it looks great. The effects look really good, so, and we saw it, it was like in 3D. If you've been to Disneyland here in Anaheim, California, and you've been on the Bug's Life, that show, It's Tough to Be a Bug, they pretty much replaced that with a Maleficent sneak preview. And it's a good 10 minutes, I would say, and you get a good amount of things and a good taste of some of the effects, and it looks pretty good. So after that, I really got more excited, and I can't wait to see that movie also. But yeah, without further ado, let's get right into this this episode, episode number 12, and got lots of things to talk to you guys about. So let's get the show on the road.
Talia, what do you want? My father's dead. Raish. Assassins plan to take over Raish's organization.
Raish Al Ghul has been retired. You may call me Deathstroke.
This man wants to kill us.
Us?
Me and your son.
Son? Things have changed. She thinks you'll be better off with me.
I'll do fine by myself. Deathstroke killed my grandfather. He has to pay.
We don't kill. He's gone. Took the uniform, too. I have your mother, Damien. I'll give you 48 hours before I end her suffering. You're letting vengeance guide your actions.
It's easier my way.
Robin! Your play, Damien. Yeah!
Drive.
No.
I know how.
No.
Son of Batman, based on Grant Morrison's Son of Batman graphic novel. First of all, that the graphic novel, I haven't read the book. It is a book that I'm after. Not like it's hard to find or anything. I just haven't got the chance to pick it up. But I will definitely be picking it up, and we will be reviewing it, or talking about it, rambling about it more likely on the show here on a future date. But yeah, so let's talk about the DC animated film Son of Batman. This is where Bruce Wayne finds out that he has a son, that him and Talia Al Ghul made a little son together by the name of Damian Wayne. And Damian Wayne is such a great character. He is my favorite Robin in all the Robins. His attitude, his ability to be able to kill, his skills. He is just a badass character. When I first found out about this movie, when I first saw the trailer, I could not wait to check it out. I know a lot of people got to see it before it came out, like on, because you could buy it on Amazon or something like that, I believe. I believe they're the ones that do that. But I wanted to wait till the Blu-ray came out. I wanted to buy it and see it off the Blu-ray. And I finally was able to go out and pick it up a week later. But hey, I picked it up. Now in the movie, you get characters like, of course, Damian Wayne, Bruce Wayne, Batman, Croc, Commissioner Gordon, Deathstroke, Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, and you get a whole lot of man-bats that they're pretty crazy looking. They're pretty intense, especially towards the end of the movie. But yeah, in this movie, Deathstroke is the main character, so it was really cool to see Deathstroke. I like seeing Deathstroke and Batman fight. I like to see them fight. There's just a lot of, when they get down, there is just some amazing fighting going on. But in this movie, my favorite part about this movie was when Robin, Damian Wayne, and Deathstroke got in a fight. Now, Damian Wayne did something to Deathstroke. I will not say what. I will let you guys watch the movie and see for yourselves or read the book. He did something to Deathstroke, and Deathstroke was pretty angry at what Damian did to him. So he was on the hunt for Damian Wayne. He wanted to find him and kill him. And he was doing everything he could to get his hands on Damian Wayne. Now, that's not the whole part of the story. That's not the whole premise of the movie. There's a whole nother thing that's going on along with this. But I want to talk about Bruce Wayne, Batman, a little bit. I thought they did a great job with him. When he found out that he had a kid, you see him, you feel him like thinking. It just, he's not thinking in the movie, like they don't have an inner monologue. But like his look, his expression on his face when he looks at Damian Wayne act the way he does or do what he does. He's kind of like blown away by it, I would say. But he's blown away by it and he acts the way Batman would. He's kind of silent and he's just kind of looking at him and like, you know, like he's impressed. And actually, there's a part where Bruce Wayne is looking at Damian Wayne and he's like, this guy has skill. This kid has skill. And we know that Damian Wayne was raised. Damian Wayne. I keep saying Wayne. Wayne was raised to kill. He was raised to kill people. To take out the scum of the earth, you know. So Batman has to kind of handle that. Kind of get him out of that thought process. And show him that you don't have to kill to deliver justice among all these villains. There were quite a few scenes that stuck out to me that I really enjoyed. One of them was that Damian Wayne and Deathstroke fight. Another one was when they have Killer Croc incarcerated. They have him chained up in Arkham, and Batman and Commissioner Gordon pay him a visit and they interrogate him a little bit. And what Batman did to get Killer Croc talking, the way they did it, the way they played it out, it was just awesome. I thought that was a great scene as to what he did, you know. It's like Batman, he's touching the line. He's kind of like touching his line as to how far, you know, he's pushing it. He's pushing his line, like his own thing, because he won't kill anybody. We know he won't kill anybody, but he'll hurt you. Like, he'll make sure he gets what he wants, and he'll do it without killing you. And sometimes that's kind of scary, because it's like, this guy is not going to kill me. But that means, you know, I'm not getting the easy way out, because the easy way out would be Batman just killing you, you know, getting it over with. But no, it's like, if I think about it, it's like, man, this guy won't kill me. So what is he going to do? That he's going to keep me alive, but somehow he's going to, like, torture me or do something to get me to talk or get me to do what he wants. So that scene, like, stuck out to me. When I saw that scene, I was like, oh, man, like, that was pretty intense. But, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I got to say, I really enjoyed Batman's voice. I'm not sure who the voice talent was that did him, but I really thought it was a good voice, because there has been other movies in the past where... if they weren't Kevin Conroy, I really didn't enjoy them. There were some that I did enjoy. One voice that I didn't enjoy was the kid. I forgot his name. He's playing Commissioner Gordon in the new Gotham series. He did the voice for Batman in year one. And I really didn't enjoy that voice. But this voice that they chose for this movie, for Son of Batman, I thought was really good. But I don't want to ramble on too much about the movie. I don't want to give it away too much, because I feel this is a movie that you guys should check out on your own and see what you think. If you're a fan of Grant Morrison, if you're a fan of Batman, a fan of Damian Wayne, Robin, you definitely have to check this movie out. And after you do, if you already have, let me know. Visit my Facebook page. Let me know what you guys thought. If you agreed with me, disagreed with me, what did you like from the movie? What didn't you like from the movie? And all that good stuff. So go out there and check out Son of Batman. So earlier we were talking about movies and, you know, stuff like that. I want to dive back into that a little bit, because this week we got a taste of what the new Batman suit will look like, what the new Batmobile will look like, and I gotta say, I was amazed. I am loving that suit. I am a huge fan of the Michael Keaton suit. I love that suit. I love the way it looks. It just looks awesome. But this suit that Batfleck will be wearing looks freaking awesome. It reminds you a lot about Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. I love the way the big Bat logo looks on the chest. The bat suit and the Batmobile kind of have a feel of the whole Arkham Asylum thing, game. That whole look, it kind of has a touch of that look. The Batmobile reminds me of the Batmobile in Injustice. You know, when the Batmobile comes out, Batman does the backflip over it. It kind of reminds me of that Batmobile a bit. And I was just, I was stunned. I was surprised. I was blown away about how good they look. Because for a while, I was hearing talks of of Zack Snyder doing something new with the Batsuit. And I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh man. I was like, I hope he doesn't try to like stray away from what we're used to seeing. I was like, man, I was kind of nervous. I mean, because I liked the Superman suit, the Man of Steel suit. I thought it looked really cool. But man, so now it's like I cannot wait to see more pictures of the Batman suit and the Batmobile. To me, they just looked incredible. The Bat suit looks a little more simpler, not as crazy as it looks. Not that it's crazy, but the Bat suit that Christian Bale wore kind of had like a lot going on. Like the cowl looked like a helmet instead of like a cowl, you know. I love the way the short horns look on the new suit. I love the short horns. It just looks great. So hopefully you guys got a chance to check it out. If you didn't, you could Google it. You could go to my Facebook page and look up the picture. It just looks great. I cannot wait. Another thing I wanted to talk about is we got news that Lionsgate partnered up with Saban, and they will be releasing a live-action Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Recruit a team of teenagers with attitudes.
Go, go, Power Rangers! Go, go, Power Rangers! Go, go, Power Rangers! Mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
Again, I was excited. I will be honest with you. The first movie, the first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie with the original crew that we were familiar with, that it all started with, I enjoyed the movie with Ivan Ooze and all that stuff. I liked it. I went to the movie theater, checked it out. I thought the movie was awesome. I was kind of sad to see them leave their Mighty Morphin and move into the ninja stuff. After that, I kind of lost it and I wasn't keeping up with them no more, because if we know now, there's like Zeo Rangers, Mystic Rangers, police SPD Rangers, all kinds of Rangers. My only hope is that I hope they stick with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I hope those are the Rangers that they're using now, because I want to see what they do with the Green Ranger and the Zords, because it would totally be like a What's that movie that came out with the kaijus and the big robots? Pacific Rim. Like, I kind of see that going on. I would love to see the Dragon Zord. I would love to see the Megazord. I would love to see the Green Ranger come out in these movies. Now, as we know, they don't always stick to the original feel of what we're used to. They always kind of switch stuff around. So one of my buddies was asking me, you think they'll use like Tommy, Jason, all those characters? I was like, honestly, I don't know. Who knows if they'll try to reintroduce those characters? Because how will that affect the TV show, the Power Rangers TV show? Will it kind of be linked together? Will it not? Will they go back to the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Because we are in their 20 year anniversary. So a lot of Mighty Morphin stuff has been coming out. Toys and things like that. There has been a re-release of the Megazord, re-release of figures. I have been trying to get my hands on a figure, but they're kind of expensive. Each one's like $45. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel if they were not to use Tommy and Jason and all that, all those people that we're familiar with. For me, honestly, I don't think it would be a big deal if they go with other folks. My thing is, I just want them to use the Mighty Morphin Rangers. I would love to see the Megazord and Dragonzord in action. But yeah, I'll stay tuned. I'll keep you guys informed to see what new information we get for the Power Rangers movie and for the Batman Superman movie to see what's going on. If you guys have heard anything that I didn't mention, let me know on my Facebook page. But yeah, so excited. Excited for what's going on in the movie world. Before superheroes, there were masks. The Shadow, the Green Hornet, and Kato, the Spider. In 1938, these masked vigilantes operated outside the law, working independently to strike fear into the hearts of evildoers. But when the corrupt cop politicians of the Justice Party transformed New York into a fascist state run by mobsters, when an oppressive regime grants jackbooted stormtroopers free rein to imprison, extort, and execute the innocent, when the law itself becomes unjust, justice must be served by outlaws. Outnumbered and outgunned, the legendary vigilantes emerge from the shadows to fight, joined by Zorro, the Green Llama, Miss Fury, Black Terror, and the Black Bat. Nine renowned pulp heroes brought together for the first time in an epic conflict of law versus justice. Mass, written by Chris Robertson, artwork done by Alex Ross and Dennis Calero. This is a book that Dynamite put out. And this, I'll tell you right now, this will probably be a short rambling of this book, Mass, because I did not enjoy this book at all. I really wanted to because I love a lot of these old characters like Zorro, the Shadow. I think the Shadow is an awesome character. And the Shadow to me had the most like cool parts in the story. They're the ones that are most memorable. Even the Green Hornet kind of falls out of it. Like you kind of don't you get more from Kato than you get the Green Hornet from Britt Reed himself. And like I said in the little opening, they used nine characters. To me, that was just way too many characters. I felt like, and I say that because you have eight chapters in this book, so eight issues. There's nine heroes, and in each one, the introduction of each one kind of took away from the main story. The main story felt kind of rushed, kind of cut, like pieces were missing. At the end of the reveal, you kind of are like, okay, like that really, like they make it seem like it's a reveal, but you really don't get that feeling of like, oh my God, why didn't I see that coming? Just because they didn't spend enough time. I felt they didn't spend enough time on this character, on what he was doing for you to be like, oh man, like really, he's the one that's doing this. So it was kind of like, okay, who the heck is this guy? And then I had to go back and I looked and I saw that, oh yeah, they did have this guy in two or three panels earlier in the story. It's like, well, that's it? That's all you gave me? Am I supposed to fall in love with this character? And then when you reveal that he's doing this, I'm supposed to be like, oh my God, no. It's like, I forgot who this guy was earlier. So having said that, I wish they would have stuck to only like four characters. I would say Green Hornet, Kato, the Shadow, of course, Zorro, and then I don't know, maybe one of these other. I call them B-lister guys because I'm not familiar with them. Black Bat, I've seen his comic around, but I've never picked it up. Black Terror, I have no idea who he is. Miss Fury, I've seen her comic around. Not really interested. She kind of reminds me of like a Catwoman. And this Green Llama guy. Green Llama, you only get like five panels out of him at the most. Out of these like 100 plus pages. So for me, it's like the Shadow, Zorro, and Green Hornet. You would have done good with that. Now on the plus side, Alex Ross does the covers. So he makes these heroes look amazing. I love what he does with the Shadow. Well, with the characters that I know, the Shadow, Zorro, the Green Hornet, I think Alex Ross is just the man when it comes to covers. He is fantastic. He does all the main covers, and then they have like four variant covers, which after seeing Alex Ross's, it's like, man, these other variants, it's like, I don't even want the variants. It's like, this is the only cover I want. Now, Alex Ross also does do the artwork for the first issue, for issue number one. So we'll call it chapter one of this book. And I won't lie, in the first issue, I was like, you know, getting into it, I was like, all right, cool. Because you meet the Green Hornet, you meet Shadow. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, cool. I'm getting into this. Yeah, let's freaking mob these gangsters. We're going to bring them down. And then with Alex Ross doing the artwork, you're like, it's like, this is going to be good. But once Alex Ross drops out of it and Dennis Calero takes over from issue 2 to 8, and then the story dies, it's kind of like, okay, like what happened here? I could honestly say by issue 3, I was kind of done with the introductions of the characters. I was like, okay, please don't spend more time on any of these characters. Please don't introduce anymore. But I knew that there was still more to come. And then I got confused because I was like, who are these characters? I'm okay, like, but then you'd be like, wait, who's that? Is that who's this guy? When they're out of costume, it's like, wait, who's this guy? Is that Spider? Is that Green Llama? There was somewhere I was like, okay, I know I've seen him, but who is he again? So you really get lost. And then by the 5th issue, I would say I was like kind of done. I was like, okay, I really kind of don't care anymore. By the 6th issue, I was like, I was about to stop reading the book just because it was just going nowhere. It wasn't entertaining. But I figured I'd finish it out just in case there was, you know, maybe the end was going to be exciting. Maybe the end was going to be where the big part was going to be. But I finished it. Nothing exciting. The only thing that was exciting was the Shadow. The way he dealt with the villain at the end was pretty cool. And that was probably like 3 or 4 panels and then that was it. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Another cool thing that I liked is that the Shadow never reveals who his real persona is. Like everybody else, like they're like, hey, I'm Britt Reed. Oh, hey, I'm Kate. I forgot Zorro's real name. And they asked the Shadow, they're like, hey, okay, what's your name? And he's like,
who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
And everybody's like, well, okay, dude, like, don't take yourself too seriously. But I thought the Shadow character was handled well. A character that I wish they would have brought more forward in and kind of used him more was Zorro. He was kind of a background character. So that kind of sucked for me too. Not really anything good I could say about this outside of Alex Ross doing the artwork and for the first issue and the covers. But that's it. I don't really want to recommend it just because, like I said, it was kind of boring. But if you do decide to check it out and you read it and you like it, let me know. Maybe you could point some things that maybe I missed that will probably make this a better, make me understand it a little bit more. Even though I feel like there's really nothing I missed just because the story was kind of boring and bland and plain. But yeah, so if you want to, check it out. Masks by Chris Robertson. Artwork by Alex Ross and Dennis Calero. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Once again, the show has come to an end. I hope there was a lot of movie talk going on, so I hope I didn't bore you with that and ramble on too much. But I was excited, like I said, excited about the Batsuit, the Batmobile, excited about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie coming out. Hopefully I could maintain excited and don't get let down, because sometimes these people let you down when they make these movies. But yeah, again, thanks for tuning in, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.